Well, good morning, everyone. We're delighted that you're with us in the house of the Lord as we come to this final message of our current series on writing your family story. Over the past 5 weeks, here's what we've discovered. We've discovered that each and every one of us, we are authors, and that we are writing the most important story that we will ever write in our lives, and that is the story of our family. Unlike most all other stories, as we've come to discover, none of us got the opportunity to write the first chapter. That was written for us by our ancestors who have preceded us. Every generation writes its own chapter, and that chapter is whatever it is. Some chapters make us very proud of our ancestral heritage, while others bring embarrassment and possibly even shame. However, the good news for all of us here together this morning is the fact that no matter what has been written up to this point, whether it's something you're very proud of or whether it's something that brings embarrassment, I want you to know your family's story is not finished yet. The pen is now in your hand, and you alone will determine what is written next. My prayer for you this day and each week has been that God would so touch your life, transform and bring excitement into your walk with God, that your chapter that you are now writing would literally become the new title for your family story. However, this is not going to happen by accident. A Christian family, a Christ-centered home, is not going to happen by automatic default in any family. If you want a Christian home, it's going to be a choice. Matter of fact, 100% of the time, not 99%, but rather 100% of the time, a Christian home is going to be the result of a conscious decision that has been made. Listen once again now to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all of your faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served on the other side or beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Can we say that together? "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Notice it is a conscious decision that Joshua is proclaiming. Joshua starts out by saying, "Fear the Lord." Friends, I've said it and I've said it time and time again. There's one fear that I have. And that is, there's too little fear of God. You see, fear of God, the Bible tells us, is good for us. It will guide us and direct us and will keep us out of life's dangerous paths as we fear the Lord. So he starts out by saying, fear the Lord. Secondly, he says, serve him faithfully. Don't be on and off about this thing of serving God, he's saying. Don't be one day red hot and on fire for God, the next day cold as ice. Here and there, on and off, he said, that should not be the Christian way of living. He says, fear God, serve him faithfully, consistently. Throw away, then, the gods your ancestors worshiped. He said, get rid of all of those. Some of you have been hiding them. And you're preparing to take these gods when you depart from this meeting and you go off into the various lands and inheritance that God has for each one of the 12 tribes, he says, some of you are planning in your packages, in your goods you're carrying with you, you're planning to take these gods with you into the new land. He says, you've got to get rid of them. Serve the Lord. Serve him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then he goes on to say, if serving the Lord seems undesirable, if it seems like it's not something you're interested in, it's not something you want to do, he says, then choose today who you will serve. Make up your mind, in other words. Time is clocking on. Don't waste a day. Don't waste a moment. He says, make sure that you understand you will be serving someone. It'll either be the Lord God, it will be a false God. You'll be serving the gods of this world or the Lord that made this world. But you must make up your mind today, make up your mind this day whom you will serve. And then he makes it clear. He says, as for me and my house, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua then goes on record, and he goes on record before the 12 tribes of Israel. About 1.5 to 2 million people gathered there. The last time they would ever be all together before they go to the various parts of the country, he says, I want you to understand, I've made up my mind, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. As for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. The crowd then that was gathered around him, remember now, this is all 12 tribes. This is a historical moment. There will never be another time in world history where the 12 tribes will all be together once again. I thought of this verse as I was departing from the cemetery after my mother's funeral, because I realized in that moment she is probably the last person that could bring together our entire family. Now, my brothers and my sister, we're close to one another. But now the next generation, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and even great-great-grandchildren, there is no living individual in the family any longer that is the central hub that can bring this entire family of mine back together again. There wouldn't be a joyous event. There wouldn't be a celebration, nor would there be another funeral that would cause every single member of the family to return. And so Joshua understands, once the tribes go out and they begin to take possession of their cities and of their states, he said, this will never happen again. So before you go, I want it clear. Make sure that you fear the Lord. Make sure that you understand what he is expecting of you. Serve him faithfully. Get rid of all these gods. Don't carry any of them with you, because they're going to cause you problems down the road if you try to do so. And then I'm making it clear. All clear before everyone gathered, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now the people responded. You see, I believe that they're responding. First of all, they're not quite sure what decision they're making. And Joshua wants them to understand fully. This is not something they should do carelessly. But listen to what he says. Then the people answered. So they heard Joshua say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations with which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. And now the people that heard Joshua, all 12 tribes, they all begin to speak up and say, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Now, every time I read what happens next in this account, it causes me to stop and just really contemplate what it means to make a decision for God. Look at verse 19. All the people, it's as though it's an altar call, and everybody is saying, count me in, count me in. We're too. Joshua, if you're going to serve the Lord, we're going to serve the Lord. Count us in as well. And Joshua says this. Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want you to notice how Joshua comes right back at him one more time. This is number 3 now. First, he says, are you going to serve God? And they say, yes, we're going to serve God. Then he says, you really can't serve God because you've got all these false gods. You've got all this junk you're trying to take with you into the new land. And they say, yes, we want to serve God. That's the second time. And now he's got a third one. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, Joshua said, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And now for the third time, the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Here's what they were saying in that moment. Joshua, we have thought this thing through. We have considered all of the alternates and all the alternatives. We have made a cognitive choice, and now we're going on record. We will serve the Lord, and we will obey him. Now, some of you gathered here this morning, you were blessed to be raised in a Christian home. You inherited an amazing family story, some of you. Your family story is filled with multiple generations that serve God fervently. There are those that are in our congregation. Your family history is amazing. If you look over your shoulder and look over your in your rearview mirror and see where you've come from and where your family has been, you are amazing in your genealogy and your history. Some of you have had generation after generation, 3, 4, 5 generations that have served God and served God fervently. Some of you, when you look into your rearview mirror and you look at your ancestral heritage, you've got missionaries and pastors, you've got church planters, you've got men and women that literally shaped nations of the world. Your history is one, when you look at it, it is filled with such blessing that you are privileged now to stand on the shoulders of previous generations. They literally carved a way for you. They served God, and they made a way for you so that you might follow in their footsteps. Therefore, to those of you that have had a great genealogical history of serving God, your greatest challenge is possibly to live up to the standards of the previous generation, what they have set for you. You want to live up to what they have done, what they've accomplished in the past, and to make sure that your faith is a personal faith and not merely the retelling of their story. You know, I run into a lot of people these days, and as soon as you begin to, you know, converse with them about their walk with God, the first thing they'll do, they'll begin to tell you about, well, my great-grandfather, he was a pastor, and this one was a bishop, and this one was this and that, and they'll give you all the family history. Oh, my grandmother, she was a woman of God. She prayed, she would pray 5, 6 hours a day. Oh, my granddaddy, he read the Bible 50 times. And they'll tell you all of the history. But there's not a living, vital faith in their heart. And so for those of you that were raised, you can look over your shoulder and you say, wow, I've been so blessed. I look and I see, you know, generation after generation serving God fervently. And I see those that want to make a difference for God. I'm privileged to stand on their shoulders. However, for many of you this morning, that's not the way you've been raised. For many of you here this morning, you're trying to turn a ship. You're saying, I can see we've been sailing the wrong seas, going the wrong direction, generation after generation. The sins of the fathers have been all too evident. They have shackled generation after generation with the same bondages in my family. And you would say this morning, I'm here in the house of the Lord this morning, and I desperately want a new trajectory for my family and a new direction for our marriage and for our home. Like the children of Israel, you're in the house of the Lord this morning at the conclusion of this series, and you're saying, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. However, like Joshua, I must ask you, just as Joshua asked those that had made that decision, he says, do you really, really mean it? Are you ready to get rid of the old family gods? You say the old family gods. I'll tell you, all of us have been raised in families where we had an old family god. It may have been the family god of money. Could have been the family god of, you know, abuse, sex. The list would go on and on and on. And if we're not careful, we just began to live like the generation that preceded us. And Joshua said, are you ready to get rid of? Are you really ready to get rid of the old family gods? He is letting them know in no uncertain terms that the redeemed cannot live like the unredeemed. Some of you, you are the first generation Christian. You're the first one as far back as you can tell in your family that has ever served God and had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're here this morning. And you need to understand, you cannot live like those that did not know God that were in your past. He says, if he is not the Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. And so he is telling the people gathered there that day, serving God is a choice. And he also wants us to know that a Christ-centered home is a decision. Israel responded for the third time. Yes, we know what is expected, and we know what we're doing, and we too will serve the Lord our God. Now, I want you to turn back with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Back about 20 chapters to Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, you're going to discover here the children of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan River. The Jordan River was at flood stage, and God miraculously stopped the waters. Now, when I think of the waters of the Jordan, I have baptized men and women in the Jordan River many times over the years. And I have been to the Jordan River when the Jordan has been so low, the water. Matter of fact, during normal times, the Jordan River is no wider than this set of pews right here. And so that would be about the normal width to it. And many times I've been there to baptize, and we've taken them down to the waters, but on one occasion, as I went down to the waters were only about this deep. That's all it was. And I remember taking people down. Now, how do you baptize individuals by immersion when you've only got this much water? I'll tell you what you do. I'd get them down, and when I'd get them down there, you could see just their face was still sticking out. Everything else was covered, but just their face, their round little white face was sticking out of the water. And I would take my hand, put it on their forehead, and I'd go, And they'd come up out of the water with this big clump of mud on the back of their head. I mean, no joke, that really, really happened. And then I've also been to the Jordan when I've wanted to go down and baptize, and it has been a storm, especially in the Galilee region. Matter of fact, in the Galilee region, they get some snowstorms up in the higher mountains. And so we had had a snowstorm, and there was rain and all of that. And so we went down to baptize. When I got there, it wasn't a little river like this, this deep. It was running as wide as this entire sanctuary. And it was flowing so fast, there was no way you could step foot into that without it being dangerous. So now the children of Israel, they've been wandering through the wilderness. They get as close now to the promised land as the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is at flood stage. There is no way to get across. God gave them a plan. He said, I want the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as they place their feet in the water, I will do something miraculous. And God did. He stopped the waters from flowing. Now, I had one professor one time tell me, well, that was just a natural occurrence. All that happened at that moment, there's an earthquake upstream, and that earthquake stopped the waters of the Jordan, and that's why they walked across some dry ground. To which I said to the professor, that may be true, but when you have an earthquake when you need it, that's God. And God stopped the waters. And so here they are now. They've crossed over miraculously by the hand of God. They've crossed over to the other side of the Jordan River. Listen to what it says now. Here's chapter 4, verse 2. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua, being obedient, called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. And he told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a what?" Say it, church. "A memorial." We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, "What do these stones mean?" Then you will tell them, "They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a what? Memorial amongst the people of Israel for how long?
Forever."
So when they get to the other side, they take 12 stones and they pile them together. And these 12 stones, Joshua said, in the future, they're going to come by and they're going to look at that. They're going to say, "What in the world is this thing? Why would they take 12 large stones and stack them here in the middle of nowhere? Why? How did they get here? What's the story of it? They didn't just stack themselves like that. Where did they come from? What are they doing there? And what is the significance of it?" Joshua said, "When you hear that question, tell them." Verse 4:22 says, in that moment, tell them, when they ask the question, tell them that we were nobodies in Egypt. Tell them we were once slaves. Tell them that every day was just one more day of misery. Tell them to the Egyptians we were worth less than what an animal was worth. They paid more for a donkey than for a man. Tell them that life was tough. Tell them that we called out to God. Tell them we said, "God, we need your intervention. Tell us. Tell us what this all means." "Well, let me complete," he said. "Just tell them of how God delivered you and how God sustained you while you were in the wilderness, how God opened up the Red Sea, how God opened up the Jordan, how God brought water from a rock, how God sent manna from heaven. Tell them how God was so with you that even your shoes did not wear out for the 40 years that you walked through the wilderness. Every time your sons and daughters, every time your grandchildren see these piles of rock, you tell them, when they ask, you tell them, this is where God brought us across one more time and how God met our need. You tell them." Now, with that in mind, I want you to go back to Joshua chapter 24 once again. And in Joshua chapter 24, I want you to see here, once again, in verse 24, the people said, "Yes, count us in. We too will serve the Lord." And this is the third time, their third proclamation. And listen to what Joshua says now. Remember what the stones are all about. It was a memorial. It was a place to remember what God had done. He says this, "On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. There at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws." So he reminded them of what God expected of them. So when they get into the land, they would know how to live in that land and how they have the blessing of God on their families and on their homes in this new land. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to the Lord your God. Where Joshua got that big stone, I'm not sure. It's possible, but very likely, that he probably took it from the pile that was already there. I doubt it. But anyway, he takes that big rock and he sets it down. So you want to serve God, huh? Yes, we want to serve God. You're not going to go back on God. No, we don't want to go back on God. We will not go back on God. You're going to remember God's laws. Yes, we'll remember God's laws. Are you sure you want to serve God? Do you know what you're getting into? Yes, we know what we're getting into. He said, I want you to know, this rock heard it all. He said, and every time you see that rock, it's going to be a reminder that you said, we will serve God. There is no turning back. The world may do what it's going to do, but as for me and my house, we have made up our minds, we are going to serve the Lord. And Joshua said, just as the 12 stones would be a reminder for generations to come. What happened here? I'll tell you what happened here. God brought us across on dry ground. God was the one that sustained us. God brought us out of Egypt. God's the one that brought us, you know, the blessings that we needed to sustain ourselves out there in the wilderness for 40 years. God was there. And every time your children, grandchildren ask, what is it all about? That's how you answer. He said, this rock over here, this one is going to be a reminder. Every time you walk by a stone, it's going to cry out to you and say, remember the decision you made. Remember that serving God is a choice. It's a choice that every single individual within a family must make. There is no such thing as a Christian family without Christians living in the family. There is no such thing as a Christian nation. There's only nations that are filled with Christians. Oh, yes, there's a propensity and there's the blessing of the Lord and all of that. I understand that. But what Joshua is saying, you've got to make up your mind. He said, and this rock is going to call back to remembrance. Remember the time you went to the altar and you said, Lord, I'll never do this again. I'm sick of the old lifestyle. I'm getting rid of the gods of my family because I realize I cannot keep these in my life any longer. And that was part of the old life. That was part of the unredeemed. My family knew no better. And because they knew no better, they did what sinners do and they sinned. But I know better. Therefore, this rock is a reminder. He said, every time you pass by it, it's going to remind you. And if you turn your back on God, this rock will be a witness against you in that day. Now that sounds a little corny, don't it? A rock is going to be a witness against you. Remember what Jesus said on the triumphal entry when they said, Jesus, stop. I want you to silence your disciples. Do not allow them to proclaim, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Stop it all. And Jesus said, if they should hold their peace, the what? Would do what? They would cry out. Joshua then is saying, if you begin to veer away from your commitments, you begin to forget what brought you here, you begin to live like the world that surrounds you, he says, remember what the rock stands for. This morning, I've got a stake for all of you. A wooden stake. I'll give you a T-bone. I've got one for every single family. Well, you say, well, what is a family? I'll tell you what a family is. A family is every individual that is the head of a household. If you're here today and you've lost your mates and you're living all alone, you're a family. You're a family unit. If you're here and you've got a house full of kids, you are a family. If you're a single mom, you're trying to raise your kids to serve God and to know what's right from wrong, you're a family. If you're single and you've never been married, you're establishing like everyone else. You're establishing a family. You're establishing the environment of what your home is going to be like and how it will function. I'm going to ask this morning that you would do as I have done. On my stake, here's what I wrote. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you how meaningful that verse is to me, not only because of being God's word, and that trumps it all. If you were to travel with me today out to South Dakota to a little cemetery in Sisseton, South Dakota, if you were to go over to the grave site of my mom and dad, you'd find a granite marker there. And on the front of the granite marker, it's got my mom's name, my father's name, date of birth, date of death. On the back side, there are two huge hearts. And inside of each one of these hearts is every member of the family's name engraved into that granite. Back on the front, right beneath my mom and dad's name, it says, as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Out to the funeral, our oldest granddaughter, Krista, was along. She's too young at this point to be able to read what it says or what understand fully what that's all about. But one day, if she is traveling through that part of South Dakota and stops in and sees the gravesite, she's going to ask you, Dad, my son John, Chris is going to ask, what does that mean? What's it all about? As for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Making a difference with the people across the street or down the block makes no difference what others have done. But I'm going on record, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That is what's going to happen here. This will be a Christ-centered home. On the other side, I'm going to ask you to put whatever you want your family story to be. We've been talking about writing our family story over these past 5 weeks. What I want you to do on the opposite side of that stake, I want you to put whatever you want your family story to be. On the opposite side of my stick, I wrote, this house will be a little heaven on earth. That's what I want for my home. When I come through my front door, right alongside the door, I have what I call my Jesus rock. It's a big old rock that somebody gave us, and it's got the name Jesus engraved right in. It's right by the front door. Guess where this is going? I'm going to drive it down right alongside my Jesus rock. And this is going to be a reminder that every time I come through the door, am I fostering the attitude that this house is a little bit of heaven on earth? There could be hell across the street, but this one's going to be heaven. There might be hell upstairs, but where I live is going to be a little bit of heaven on earth. When I drive it down alongside my Jesus rock in the front, I'm asking you to take one of these today. I'm asking you to do the same thing. I asked my pastoral staff to do it. We're just going to put it in the most prominent doorway. Now, for some of you, that could be fun because you live in an apartment. You're going to go out there and nail that thing down in the ground. Or maybe best place for you might be to put it in a plant inside the house, somewhere where it's a constant reminder that I've made up my mind. I've thought this through. This is not a flaky decision. This isn't for the next 25 minutes or until I get out the old gods and the old gods drag me back into what we once were. This is my way of saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And every time I enter that home, am I making this home a little bit of heaven? Or if I'm coming home on the grump, I know you can't believe that would ever happen. And I walk by, it's just one more reminder. Are you fostering what's in your heart? I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. Father, this is a sacred moment. Help us, Lord, to realize that all throughout the Bible, you had these memorials. Memorials that recognize very special events of meeting with God. Decisions that were made. At Bethel, with Jacob, it was a rock. The meeting place with God. Crossing over the Jordan, 12 stones, a reminder that they would never ever forget God was the one that brought them into the land. The stone, yes, we'll serve the Lord. It's a reminder of what you said. Lord, this little stake, I ask, Lord, would declare who we are. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That our home on the opposite side will be declared what our story is going to be. For some of you friends, it's going to be, I'm starting new today. For some of you, you'll probably write down something very significant that God is speaking to you about, and the dreams and the hopes you have for your family. I pray, Lord, in these next few moments, Lord, as we take a stake, take it back to our seat for just a moment. I ask, Lord, that this would be a moment that we would never forget. Lord, though the stake may rot in the ground over the years, we promise you our commitment will not. The decisions we've made, we realize, Lord, it isn't going to be through osmosis. It'll be by decision that our families are Christ-centered.